Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows.
Sarah Meadows.
Kevin Delp.
Melissa Delp.
And Ryan Pills.
And Jonah Dew.
I was waiting. I forgot that we were doing the name thing.
Yeah, and then I was like, wait a minute. I'm not Jonah.
The one week I'm prepared.
Were you? You had a good case.
Start it over. Go.
I was ready to say Jonah, and I wasn't ready to say my own name. So I was just like, wait, what am I saying?
That is funny. I couldn't think. I just jumped
you
into
totally
it.
Totally forgot.
Old time habits. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us for another fantastic episode. Today, we're going to be talking about some fun stuff. We're going to be talking about some of our favorite AEG games. We've got some games coming to Kickstarter that we want to share with you. Of course, you're going to want to hang around to the end of the episode where we're going to talk about our thoughts on WandaVision. But I think we should start off by just talking about some of the games we've had on the table recently. What's some of the stuff you guys are most excited about?
Well, we should probably talk about Hadrian's Wall since we all got to play that.
Super fresh.
Over the last couple weeks, everyone in the company has been able to get that one to the table. And we will be making another Viewpoints video where we all get to share our opinions in one video, which we got some really good feedback from our Red Rising video. So let's just start off and talk about it.
But we can't give our opinions because we're going to do this.
Right?
So
we can just talk about what the game is. We'll share our own viewpoints.
We can talk about our viewpoints now.
Our hot takes.
I don't have any hot takes.
Yeah, hot takes.
Good game. I feel like you have to be ready to play. Like, you know how sometimes you can put a game on the table and it's like light?
I'll just take my turn.
Yeah, like it's light and you can also kind of be watching TV, have a snack. Not in Hadrian's Wall. You need to be ready to play or else you're going to miss something.
Oh,
and you're going to cheat on accident and like we all did this evening.
Good job, Ryan. No cheating.
Oh, except for Ryan. I'm sorry. I didn't want
Ryan, did you get the lowest score?
I may have gotten the lowest score.
But he didn't cheat.
But now it's legit. That's
his conscience. My conscience is clear, too.
There's no guilt.
Sleep at night.
Peaceful.
Hadrian's Wall is a something in right. We were trying to figure out exactly what category it falls into. You're revealing cards. There's some... It's not really worker placement, but resource management where you're using workers, and it's two full sheets of paper that you're going to be...
With very small boxes.
Yes,
thousands of very small boxes.
Thousands.
That's what it feels like.
And circles.
There's a few circles.
Yeah, it does take first time through about 20 minutes just to review all the rules and understand all the things that are going on. It's a good gameplay, though. What was your enjoyment level? What did you think?
Well, let's start at the beginning. When the rules were being read, I was about to tap out midway through. It was a lot of rules.
Because it was like 15 minutes, and that was the first sheet.
Yeah,
and then there's a whole second sheet with completely different stuff.
So we're like, oh, we get this. She goes, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. We haven't even moved over to the right sheet.
We even have, what do you do on your turn yet?
Right. But it was good. I think that after a round or two, you pick it up and get the hang of it, and then you start to have fun. And so the rest of it after the learning curve, I think was a lot of fun. So I enjoyed it.
All right. So how many people built in the second section of their wall without actually opening up and paying for that granary? Because I know I did.
Everybody but Ryan.
I'm proud to say that I didn't this time.
Okay. But you did last time.
But as soon as Ryan and Will said it, I was like, oh, I can take my turn, that last turn back, because I had just opened it up and I took those resources back before everyone else. And I feel like if you didn't do that, then you're a little ahead of the game.
Well,
a little more on the cheating-y side.
But you sleep at night.
I will say, I think this game, I wish there was, I mean, it's clear. It's just you have to remember there's little things. I wish it was a little bit more clear, like it had a little like arrows or gray box or something. Like it's like a different color that shows you can't do this until you've done this.
This is the type of game that will make an incredible app because you won't be able to check that box if you haven't checked the one before it. And it will work really well to be able to pick all the things in the right spots and be able to play the game that way. There is one of the most satisfying things about this game is that you are using different colored meeples on your turn to, you know, you check a box and spin a meeple, but then, oh, what do you know? I gained a different color meeple. Where can I put that at on the board? And so that engine building part of the game and the fiddliness of it. And actually, this is one of the games where fiddliness is a good thing, I think. It's fun to be able to exchange back and forth those 13 different pieces on your turn. You'll miss that in the app, but it should fix all the cheating that we were doing.
Yeah, and we keep saying turn, but it is simultaneous play,
which
is very nice. Everyone chooses some card. You get two cards, and one you're going to use for end game scoring, and the other one you're going to gain the benefits of the card. And everyone has the same deck that they're choosing from. You'll just draw two off your deck. And then we reveal a card to gain. Everyone gains these resources, and then it's just go time, and everybody starts spending their workers to mark off spaces and gaining the benefits from the spaces. And so you just wait till everyone is finished spending all their stuff, and then you get attacked.
Now, this is from designer Shem Phillips, who put out...
It's actually Bobby Hill.
Bobby Hill?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Am I all totally wrong on it entirely?
Yes.
It's illustrated by the same illustrator, who I believe is a Phillips, that did Raiders of Scythia.
Oh, okay.
Yes. It's published by Garfield. It looks the same as Raiders of Scythia.
Yes.
Is this going to be a trilogy?
No, because the art is similar, but
the
timeline
is
very different history-wise.
Sure, but do we anticipate a third game that looks the same, feels the same, is from the same designer?
I think Raiders of Scythia is its own thing.
It is, yes.
Sure, but it's very similar to part of the trilogy from Raiders of the, or whichever one it is, Kingdom.
I felt the West Kingdom series like sort of build on each other a little bit, whereas like Raiders of Scythia and Hinges are two totally different games. That's why, from what I see.
I agree. Oh, it's a totally different game, but the iconography is not totally different from Raiders of Scythia. The components are pretty similar.
Well, you keep saying sure, but they keep shutting you down.
I'm waiting for them to come to the light. When the third game comes out next year, they're all going to be like, oh, yeah.
The iconography isn't the same. There's tracks at the bottom, which there's like renown and piety and valor. That iconography is not found in Raiders of Scythia. Raiders of Scythia is like the successor to Raiders of the North Sea. It's like a refined version with new art.
So Hadrian's Wall, I believe, was a Kickstarter by Garfield.
Yes.
So some people have their games if they Kickstarted it, but then Renegade has picked it up, and so it's going to go to retail within the next few months. So it's not available if you didn't do the Kickstarter right now, but it will be soon-ish.
My hot take on this whole game is I'm wondering when you unlock this puzzle and you're like, I know what to do and how to do it, the efficiency engine going on, is it going to be like more of just like moving pieces around the board?
I don't think it's actually solvable, only because you're not given the exact same pieces every card. It's a random card with different resources that you're given for the round.
Okay.
So everyone is given one or two different items because of the card that they chose from their deck, because it's going to give them one or two things.
I'm just saying, don't do the piety track. It's just in life, piety is hard.
This is a true statement.
The game is super hard if you go that route.
So I think my favorite part is when you have your last little piece, you're like, oh, this will be my last action for the round. And then something like, you're like, oh, if I go here, I actually get something else. And then you do like 20 more things when you thought it was going to be the last thing you were doing for that round.
It is fun.
Very satisfying.
Yeah. In addition to that is when Jonah pays you a stone to use your number, which does the same thing. And you're like, oh, I literally spent everything I've done. An extra stone.
At one point, I was down to one black meeple.
I saw that.
And then came back with like four stones. And I was like, this is awesome.
Because you did the little Tetris thing. And I thought it was hilarious. Sarah's like explaining, it's like, oh, that's the Tetris thing. And Kitty's like, ah, and then we get to, oh, you weren't joking.
Right. Yeah.
That
the
is
Tetris
a Tetris
mini
thing.
Game.
In the game. Speaking of unlocking things,
Melissa and I just finished a series of Unlock games.
Oh, nice segue there.
The new Mythic Adventures from Space Cowboys, the Unlock series, which has dozens of unlocks. Now they are in a sort of big box. We talked about this in the Board Game News. You remember the all three games in one box?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that, actually.
So we actually just finished playing all three games.
Speaking of Board Game News, quick segue.
Go.
If you are not watching our Board Game News, you should watch it because it is Board Game News. It's things you probably want to know.
Yeah.
I watched it and I was like, wow, this is really informational. I know that's funny because I was the one giving
in
the
it.
News. But sometimes when you're giving the news, you're not actually comprehending the news. So when I went back and watched it, I was like, oh, I wanted to know these things. I appreciate
behind the story, behind the scenes info, which is cool to know because I agree with Jonah. I watched it as well and thought, oh, did I say that? The cool thing about this is that it's like a everybody's contributing to the news. So we're using a teleprompter. This is one of the few shows of any that we make where we use a teleprompter. Everybody from the team is able to contribute news and information to it, and then we just consolidate it and read it out. And yeah, sometimes I'm surprised by that.
Whoever that scriptwriter is, it takes that person a long time.
That person does a good job.
That's a very good scriptwriter.
All right, so also, go for
I'm
it.
I'm sorry, one more thing.
No,
the Fast and Furious box that sped off?
Yeah.
Let's talk about
that.
Wow.
I mean, we need more of that.
That was very nice.
I agree.
Yeah.
Whoever does that also spends hours.
I agree. I'm like, that was totally, totally worth it. Melissa said something like that, too. I will say, though, when you're watching the news segment, you got to watch the person that's not speaking. Because it
it's true. I saw it too.
The VHS comments that Will's doing, Jonah's facial expressions were hilarious.
I don't think that was in the script, right? Didn't I pull VHS out of?
I had VHSs coming up, but I thought it would be funnier to act like you were old. So
no, and people are commenting. People commented about it in the video chat. So
that's funny.
Definitely,
it is fun. You can actually check it out at theboardgamenews.com. We bought the domain because why not? And we've got all of our past episodes there. Plus, if you were never, if a couple years ago we used to do like
satire,
yeah, satire board game news, which is kind of fun. You can find those there as well if you're looking for a good laugh or to compare board games to The Office.
But that's theboardgamenews.com.
That's correct.
Because Board Game News, someone stole that. Before we got there.
Punks.
Okay. The Board Game News. Anyway, back to Unlock. The Mythic Adventures, they have three in the box. There is a sort of Greece sort of theme. There is a Nosei theme, which is a clown.
He's like a mad scientist.
Yeah, sort of mad
scientist. Dr. Nosei. There's this the third or maybe the fourth story in his.
Third or fourth. Space Cowboys, I said, made this theme up.
Yeah, I've seen the character. It is goofy looking dude.
And then the third theme was Around the World in 80 Days, sort of a...
80 minutes.
Sorry, in 80 minutes. Usually it's an hour
long. It's a long game.
It's an hour long. This one was 80 minutes instead. So
was it harder?
So,
or was it just more to content?
So the box, you know, has those three different themed boxes inside the one box. So three different games. They have level one, level two, and level three. Level one was the Grease one, level two was the Nosei, level three was the 80 minute one. And I will say personally, I felt it was more like a 1-1-2, not a 1-2-3.
Yeah, I would say none of them were super, super difficult.
We've had harder unlocks.
Right. I think I enjoyed the 80 minutes the best, kind of
the really
travel,
liked the 80 minutes.
And there were some really interesting things that they did with it. I think all three of them had at least one puzzle that were like, yeah, we never would have gotten that.
Any of you around the table can borrow this game, and if you can figure out one of the puzzles for the 80-minute one, Melissa and I, well, and we're playing with some friends, we played it, and we're like, oh, there was one puzzle. And I had heard there was a super hard puzzle, like one puzzle. It's 80 minutes long, but there was one puzzle that was super difficult. We looked at it. We've read the hints finally, like, oh, yeah, that never would have figured that out.
Yeah. There's always one for me like that. I'm like, no way would I have made that connection. Spoiler question. Mm-hmm. Do they overlap with each other at all?
What do you mean by overlap?
I mean, I feel like if you were going to stick three in a box, one of those puzzles has got to be like, secretly look at the other game.
No, they're all independent of each other. Which is fine. The cool thing about unlocks is that they are using technology a lot more than even like they have in the past. So they are using, I'll spoil one, augmented reality.
That's cool.
They're really utilizing what you can do with a phone.
Very nice. It's pretty cool.
That's
cool. That's real cool. Anything else hot hitting the table this week? I feel like we played a couple different games, but they're probably
all... We got
all...
Ginkopolis to the table last night.
It's a city tile building multi-purpose card.
A little bit of area influence.
Definitely area control.
This is an older game that's being reprinted.
Yes.
Yeah, it was fun. It was the type of game, I'll have to play it again, where I felt like I was killing it. Like, had all the area control, all the spaces, had my resources down to the T. I was going to spend it. When you spend your last resource, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Game ends. I was like, perfect. I totally won this game. I play it. She plays a turn, randomly gives me a resource back, ruined me for the next three rounds.
Well, actually, we were supposed to end it, but
I was supposed to win?
We were
supposed to. That makes so much more sense. We played like three more rounds, and I was like, I have one dumb resource. I can't spend anything. This whole game is ruined. Good to know. All right.
I'm pretty sure I still would have had it in the bag. That
Not yes. three turns earlier. Oh, man, yes. I had all the blues. I had all the yellows. You had red. I totally would have had it.
Disagree.
I counted it out. More points.
I also had a pile of victory points behind my shield. So.
Nope, definitely. I definitely won.
Well, one of the most iconic or most one of the games that was the best experience type games was Pandemic Legacy Season 1. You guys played that, not with us, but we played that with you guys played
with
that.
Ryan and Katie.
Ryan and Katie.
You're just saying in life in general?
No, in gaming, it was like a wow, they really did something amazing with like Season 1. Well, we just started Season 0 with some friends.
Are they doing amazing things?
Well, we just did Episode 1.
Okay.
So it's kind of the introductory game. It is, it's Pandemic, but it does feel different.
Mm-hmm.
Is it because we're in a pandemic?
No. It's a Cold War theme, so it's not diseases running rampant.
Oh, good.
It's, there are spy agents that are filling up the different areas.
Okay.
And one of the things that's happening is, in Pandemic when an area is overrun and it...
An outbreak.
Well, in this case, if it was going to overrun, instead of adding more people to the board, more spy agents, you're pulling the bottom card of the deck, and the card itself tells you something bad that's going to happen. And it's not adding more people to the board. It's like you lose this or you have to move this over to another side of the board.
There's going to be a lot more variety of what happens for those overrun outbreak sort of situations.
Which I really, really like because I felt like the outbreaks were like not predictable, but it was like, oh, another outbreak. Sort of thing. And this one's like,
and you can see it coming like, oh, this is going to outbreak this one, which is going to outbreak. We just lost.
There's nothing we can do. We lost 10 turns into the game.
Right. And this one's like, if your guy is like in this area or things like that, then this could happen. It's like, oh, there's a 50-50 chance of it being bad or nothing happening.
Why is it the bottom of the deck? Would you get to those cards eventually? What do you mean?
No, it's just so that it's something new that you wouldn't have anticipated. Because otherwise you would have seen the cards.
Why is it?
Oh, well, because this is what you would consider the infection deck in normal Pandemic. So the ones with all the cities. And the ones on top are the ones you've already had before normally. So you're pulling one from the bottom. You're looking at the text. And then that's actually being discarded basically from the game. So you will never draw that city for...
Ooh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting. It's a double-use card.
Yeah, very nice.
Which is kind of cool.
And they're all that way.
All the cards are double-use.
Gotcha, yeah.
I had the text on them.
Gotcha. Cool stuff. All right, well, let's jump from here to a shout-out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by White Label Games. Their game High Noon is coming to Kickstarter soon, and we'll be talking about it more in our Kickstarter conniption.
What's that you got in your hand there, Ryan?
This is High Noon.
Oh, check that out.
Which we'll be talking about more in our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode will be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the week of March 8th and 15th, 2021. Kevin, start us off.
All right. On March 9th, we have the game Valeria Card Kingdoms Darksworn. This is from Daily Magic Games. They have a whole line of Valeria Card Kingdoms, which you may already be familiar with. This game, Darksworn, is actually a six-book adventure that is like a story that's unfolding throughout the games. It's a co-op game and in the world of Valeria, and it's telling a story where you are exploring Valeria and encountering darkness that cannot go unchecked. So that's where the Darksworn comes in. Each book presents you with a new set of rules and several tasks that must be completed by your gaming group in order to advance to the next book. Within each book, you'll find special boons to assist you and powerful monsters to challenge you, and your team will have to sort of balance between building your tableaus like in regular Valeria and also trying to complete the tasks and things like that. So I'm sort of campaign-ish style. I don't think it's legacy. I don't think you're destroying anything, so I think you're just unlocking new books and going from book to book. But seems kind of interesting. I like story-based games. I enjoy those. So this co-op adventure is something you're interested in. Check it out. Daily Magic Games of Valeria, Card Kingdoms, Darksworn. Melissa.
Motor City Gameworks is bringing Three Sisters to Kickstarter on March 9th. This is a roll and write game from Ben Pinchback and Matt Riddle. They also designed Fleet the Dice Game. And this game reminds me of Fleet the Dice Game in the fact that there's lots of ways to combo things, to gain extra actions. So there's a lot of crossing off of boxes on your sheet, and it can really snowball as you get more stuff and build a little bit of an engine going there. The theme is gardening. The three sisters are three crops, pumpkin, corn, and beans that are grown together because they are mutually beneficial to each other. And you're going to be drafting dice, and the dice have a pip value that's going to tell you where you're going to plant or water in your gardens. And then they also have an action that they're sitting on. So you get to do two things when you take a die. And then before the round ends, everyone else will get to take one of the remaining dice. So you get basically two turns during a round. And there's lots of bonuses that are going to happen. Sarah and I have played it, and Kevin, and I think we've all enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'd say it's not quite as heavy as Fleet, mm-hmm. but it's a lot heavier than most of the other roll and writes.
I really enjoyed it. I think maybe Sarah was saying it feels like a streamlined version in a way. For some reason, it's been a while since I played Fleet the Dice Game, but it feels like in Three Sisters, you're getting more. Like, you're getting, oh, I get this. And, like, and it's not just because you're comboing things. You can always combo things in these kinds of games. But it's like, oh, you're getting your regular dice, then you're getting the dice at the end. And usually at the end of the round, there's a special benefit that everyone gets. Like, it's raining or something like that. It just felt like I was always getting things outside of my comboing.
Right. And some of those end of the round things are going to be the same game from game, and you can see what those are. So you can plan ahead some for those.
And there's an action board, too. So you're getting the actions from the board, too. So it's like the dice, the action board, the other dice that no one picked, then the end of the round.
Right. So it is a little bit more than you would get in Fleet the Dice Game, which usually is just the dice that you're drafting. Yeah, weight-wise, I would put it very similar, maybe not quite as complex. For me, it's a little easier to understand how things connect in The Three Sisters. Not as heavy as Hadrian's Wall, though.
It seems pretty as well. Like, it was a full-color sheet, which you don't always see in a rolling, right?
Yep. So that is Three Sisters, if you like rolling rights, if you like comboing things and filling in lots of little boxes, then definitely check out Three Sisters coming on March 9th. Ryan.
Coming March 5th from White Label Games is High Noon.
High Noon.
Our episode sponsor. Yeah, it looks to be a tactical miniatures game set in the Wild West. And you are going all over the map collecting gold and loot crates, which might give you a bonus with valuable supplies, medicine, or firepower. And you're fighting all the other posses trying to get the most gold by the end of 12 rounds. Or you can play Last Posse Standing. The box that I have is specifically a starter set. And it says 2 to 4 players or infinite players with expansions. What?
Infinite.
So I don't know if it's like two teams or if it's four teams that are every man for himself. We will find out more. It's a 60 to a 120-minute game, so we won't be able to play the whole thing. But we'll take a look at some of the pieces and such in our Saturday morning board game show. So if you're listening to this, check out the Saturday morning board game show that just went on the air this past weekend, and you can get a better look at High Noon.
The miniatures do look really cool.
Yeah.
Are they pretty, pretty? I said pretty, pretty last time. I should
pretty,
say
pretty.
That. Every...
Pretty, pretty Wild West, High Noon peoples, yep. different characters from the Western.
Yeah, there's some cool card art, so we will take a better look, and you can tune into that in the past whenever
right.
you listen to this.
Time travel.
For High Noon from White Label Games. Jonah, what do you got?
Yeah, coming to Kickstarter on March 9th is the game called Night Market from Talon Strikes Studios, LLC. So this game is about you being a business owner trying to construct stalls to sell food to customers with distinctive tastes. And actually, there's actually a note from the designer of this game, and I actually found the note very intriguing and interesting. So I'm going to read some of it.
Go for it.
Basically, the designer was saying he moved to Taiwan in 2010, and he realized that in Taiwan they have these night markets. So it could be like a completely dead street, but at night all these people come with basically like food cart type ideas, and they sell this food. And in each night market, normally the night markets are where you have like the best dish of the area or best dish of the town or whatever. So he quickly realized that even in some towns that were like had nothing to them or no one in them, that at night though they'd have their night market. Mm-hmm. And so the night market was like a thing, and he just went around trying all this food and had such a great time in the night market, and it was, you know, lit up and beautiful and all these Taiwanese dishes. So the game Night Market is, again, you're playing as a business owner trying to construct stalls to sell food to your customers. If you can do that within the time limit kind of given, then your customers will be satisfied. They'll be loyal. They'll come back. And if you can't, then they end up leaving. It is a action drafting worker placement type game with, of course, the theme of cooking and food. So anyway, that is Night Market coming to Kickstarter on March 9th, and that is from Talon Strike Studios, LLC. Will, what game do you have?
I'm looking at the game Bogus Survival. It's actually coming from The Game Crafter, so this is a small, simple box game, but it's for 4 to 10 players, and it's a fun party game that actually mechanically is a little bit like Code Names, where you've got two teams of people. You will be assigning the other team's clue giver a couple of totally insane scenarios, like just crazy stuff, like maybe getting attacked by the line of carts in the shopping cart or getting swooped by birds at the beach. And you'll have about, I think it's a grid of like 9 cards that lay out on the table, and they are your tools for surviving this terrible dilemma and, you know, life tragedy. Survival experience, and you then as the clue giver have to pick which survival tools that you'll use to survive the one of the three different scenarios that's been handed to you, and then your team has to look at those survival things and decide, oh, well, you probably need an umbrella to survive the attack of the birds, and so what are the three survival tools that you're going to use to be able to live, and if they can pick those tools correctly, then you win the point and you go on to the next round.
I hope I get more than an umbrella with birds attacking me.
You'll get 3 total tools to survive your onslaught. So you're supposed to make up crazy stories to go with them and why you chose the tools that you do, and the art for it is like straightforward line drawings, but there's some just pretty funny, clever ideas for things that you have to survive. We're actually going to be doing a playthrough of that. I think that will also be time traveled into the past. So if you want to check that out, this past Thursday night, we'll have played a rousing round of Bogus Survival. And you can check that out on Kickstarter as well. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Also coming March 9th is 2 expansions for Everdell. There is the Mistwood expansion. And in this expansion, you will be going into the depths of Mistwood, and you will have aid from some spiders. So there are some specific rules for solo mode and for each of the player counts. And there will be more legend cards that will add to the deck and a Corrin Evertail expansion pack as well. So I think that specific card
showed up in one of the other expansions. I don't remember which one it is. The legendary card. I think it's one of the legendary cards. There is the new Leaf expansion. And this expansion actually adds the fourth board to
Finally.
The game. And it will be that right side of the main board. And it will feature a train. And your characters will be able to have new events. And visitors will come visit your little city. There will be tickets and the train station board and everything. So looking forward to seeing all the new items that will come with that expansion as well. There are also cards for the deck. And these ones play a little bit differently than some of the ones in the past. Most of the time in the past, when you had a specific construction card or a specific critter card, you could build the construction and then you'd gain the critter for free. Well, a lot of these cards, you can build one of the green leaf cards, any one of them, and then you can add one of these critters for free. So it has a broader use than just trying to find the farm card so that you can add the husband or the wife for free. It allows you to play it on any one of those other cards.
Well, and I think actually the farm cards in this game get replaced with new farm cards.
They do.
That have all kinds of different powers that you can use, which should be pretty slick.
Yep. So you can check out our channel. We will have an overview video showing off some of the new art and new components that will be coming in the game and possibly a playthrough. So you can check that out as well.
Can't wait.
That is Everdell, the New Leaf and Mistwood expansions. There will also be...
Yeah, did you mention the big box?
The big box. Yes. So they will also be selling a large collector's box that... all of the expansions in the base game are available.
And so if you have component holders.
Big box doubles as like a single player as well.
It does come with a new solo expansion. That yep. is, yeah, she was mentioning that with the spider cards or whatever.
Yep.
But
yep.
the new box will hold everything in it and all the component trays and all that good stuff. It looks pretty sick.
Yeah, so... I don't. Kevin probably has another game to talk about, but there is.
Kevin always has another.
No, there are some forums on Board Game Geek where people have been talking about what they think is coming after these expansions, and they said the world is too vast and there's too much stuff going on to where they think that there may not be another Everdell expansion, but there may be more games in this world.
Universe.
So,
like an animated series? Oh, that's what I was
saying. Oh, no, no. But they had some
Redwall.
Some good ideas for what could be coming. So some of those things include things like... just stories around the individual critters or Everdell the Dice Game or things like that. So I could see those being potentials coming down the road. So Starling Games, you should listen to this and start working on that now. All right, Kevin, what do you got?
I do have one more, even though Sarah said six. There's always a seventh. So
this is an honorable mention.
No, this is not an honorable mention. This actually is not going to Kickstarter.
Ah.
This is a pre-order through BackerKit launching March 15th. Ghostbusters and Men in Black Ecto-Terrestrial Invasion.
Wait, I think I saw it. Is it a huge box?
It is a huge box. So this is a miniatures game with it's semi-cooperative. Each player has a team of heroes, and their team is going to be one Ghostbuster character and one Men in Black character that are teaming up nice. To...
What? Special powers.
Is that allowed? How are they doing this?
Yes. Well, you see a spaceship crashed into the Ghostbusters firehouse, and so the ectoplasm has started to infect the aliens.
What?
So now, instead of them being extraterrestrial, they are ecto.
Is there like a song for this? Like, who are you going to call? And then what's the Men in Black song?
Stop.
I don't know, but when
I think there is a Men in Black
there
song.
There is. I can't remember what it is. I looked at Jonah. He was ready. But it's, I used to know it.
All we know about Men in Black is you got to put the sunglasses on before you blind people.
Right?
Before you flashy thing.
Don't get flashed, man. That's good. this is, like Melissa was saying, a semi-co-op game, so you're all working together to complete the main game objective, but you are getting points throughout the game, so whoever has the most points at the end of the game is going to be the winner. This is a campaign game, too.
Yes, and they are definitely take that elements with the special gadget cards that you can get, so you can slime other characters and impede their progress so you can get more points. But if you do too much of that, then you will lose the whole scenario, and that's bad too. So it's kind of that fine balance of trying to complete the objective.
I did.
Oh, might as well play part of it.
Play it. I'm going to sing it. The good guys dressed in black. Remember that, just in case we have a face-to-face to make contact. Remember that? Remember that? Yeah.
I do not. I
don't. Come on. It was on VHS. Yeah.
That's right.
The campaign is divided into just regular scenarios and then boss battles throughout. And you know some of the big bosses in like Men in Black and in Ghostbusters with the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. The miniatures are pretty sweet looking.
Are they bigatures?
The boss battles are...
That's pretty bigature.
They're big. They're big size. Not like what you would think on some of the big CMON
games. Not 4 foot tall.
Right, not 4 foot tall. I would say the regular miniatures, like your character miniatures, more the chibi style from the CMON Arcadia Quest. It feels like they look like the cutish.
They definitely have biggish heads.
Yeah, big heads, but they're cool looking.
Funko style.
Yeah.
Not that big.
Not that big.
Not that big. But everyone has asymmetric powers, because they have their weapons, and Ghostbusters can do certain types of things. Men in Black can have certain sort of innate abilities throughout the game.
Yeah. So basically, campaign, each scenario has its own setup and its own objectives, fail conditions. There is the cardboard firehouse tower that is a dice tower where
you don't want dice coming out
of it. Where the dice are being held by the parts of the ship that lodged into it, and at certain points in the game you have to pull the pieces out, which probably makes dice tumble out, which will make more bad guys come onto the board. So that's kind of an interesting tactile part of it. And if someone bangs the table too hard, dice might also come
out. Which happened, and the game says if something happens to the dice out of the box, or if someone like accidentally does it, doesn't matter.
You still have to do it.
Yeah.
They were thinking ahead.
Right. If you want to see how this game is played, Melissa is currently working on a how-to-play video, so you will see all the ins and outs of Ghostbusters and Men in Black Ecto-Terrestrial Invasion.
We will definitely have to check that out. All right, so I think we're to the portion of the show where we get to our topic for the episode. One of the things that we were discussing and realizing as we put together our top 10 lists this year as a group, man, AEG has been killing it recently with some really solid games. And I think we all kind of picked one of our favorites to just kind of run through.
At least one.
At least one.
I've got a top three.
Are we allowed to overlap, or are we only allowed to have unique...
No, you can overlap. You can be like, that was mine.
Okay, then we're going to start with Cubitos. I stole it.
And not only are we doing because they are an awesome company, but they also sponsor Tantrum House.
Our podcast. They do. Yep. Thank you guys for your support.
And they currently have a game on Kickstarter right now.
Kevin. Yes, Meeples and Monsters.
Oh, yeah.
You can check out my overview video. But basically, this is a bag building game where you are pulling different colored meeples out of your bag and fighting monsters and getting more meeples and upgrading those meeples. So definitely check it out.
Okay, so back to Cubitos.
Sure, Cubitos.
Have we all played it yet? Have you played this yet?
No.
What are you guys doing? Yeah.
You guys steal games and we don't get to see them ever.
That's right.
Me and Jonah. Because that doesn't ever happen.
I was taking a good one.
I was going to try to play it during the convention,
Con?
But other people got the slots instead.
We all jumped in. Yep. It is fun. It's a deck building game, but you're using dice. It's also a race game, which typically I don't really enjoy most race games. This game is a push your luck game, but you can definitely be strategic in the types of dice that you put into your bag. We've talked about it on the show a number of times. It's on our Tantrum Con game through. We played it. I just super enjoy teaching people how to play this game, watching them play it. I think me and Jonah tag teamed teaching some folks how to play it at our last game night.
I played it a good number of times. I will be honest, there's one preset race in that game that I don't like.
Is it the water one?
No, I like the water one.
Oh, okay.
Because then the cards, you can go through the water.
Right, those are cool.
Yeah, I like that one. I don't know which one it is. There's one in the box. The rule book comes with like five preset races. And there's one of those I don't like. But the cool thing about it is you don't have to use the preset races. You can like mix and match it kind of
willy-nilly.
Like Tiny Town style.
Yes.
Another AEG game. And so it makes it super fun. And I agree with most of what you said. It is super fun.
What other parts would you like to add and or take away?
No.
Oh, okay.
I like it.
All right.
It's the cover is weird.
Okay, we can all agree that SpongeBob Square Cheese in his
Lederhosen.
Yeah,
it's weird, strange.
It does look like it wouldn't. It doesn't fit the theme as well as I thought it was.
Right. The interesting thing is the theme is like built in this whole cube world. They like went out of their way to explain all these cube characters in this cube galaxy doing all these cube things.
Is there cheese in the game?
There's a There's a yellow.
One
die
of the characters, the yellow dice is named. Are all cheese.
And then at the end, they're like, and they get together and race every year. So maybe there'll be other things in this galaxy. I don't know.
Maybe we need someone to do a better cover.
Maybe we could be in favor of that. It'd be all right.
Okay.
Jonah mentioned Tiny Towns.
I did.
That was going to be Ryan's.
Katie's not here.
That was one of my three. Yeah.
Tell
that was
us
one
about
of your
it.
Three. I like Tiny Towns. It's a game where basically the gist of this game is that you're working off of a 4x4 grid, I believe, and when you select a resource, everyone else at the table also has to select that resource
and
play it on their grid. And so as the turns move, you sometimes get the resources you need, but sometimes get resources you didn't want or don't need. And you're trying to create these shapes with the resources, kind of different colors, different shapes with the resources to basically put buildings on your 4x4 grid. And it's kind of last man standing, but point-based. The reason I say last man standing is because if you go around the table a few times and you don't get the resources you were looking for to build the specific buildings you wanted, you are just going to go out quick. But I do enjoy the game. It makes it really tough to like keep an open mind on what you're going to be building with the resources because you cannot focus on one or two. Thinking, oh, I'll just build these one or two and I'll be fine. Because if they call out a resource that doesn't apply to those one or two, you've got to just shift your whole thinking to what you were going to play out. So I really enjoy it.
Yeah. One of my favorite things is looking over at Katie's board, seeing she has like three or four red and then calling red. Because for one thing, I'll need red and she's not going to call it.
Yeah.
So it helps me. And for another thing, it doesn't help her.
Right.
So it's like, yeah.
That's a good part of the game.
Who wins the game most of the time? I'm just curious.
I think it's a little bit of 50-50.
Oh, good, yeah. Good. Cool.
I do win my fair share, but Katie's very good. So
there's a lot of expansions for Tiny Towns. Anybody have a favorite?
A lot. There's two.
Fortune, right? And something else. I don't know.
There's three.
Is there three now?
Is there three expansions?
They're so
there's
fast.
I can look it up. There you guys keep talking. Do you have a
Villagers, Fortune.
Mystery third one.
And those two. Villagers and Fortune.
I like the Fortune one, but I get to the point where I've collected all four coins and then...
Tiny Trees. It must be like a small box expansion.
Oh.
Is it out
interesting.
Yet? Interesting. What does it look
tiny
like?
Tiny Trees.
Tiny Trees?
Yeah. We'll like have to get it. I've never seen it. I
think it's just a few cards.
Just a couple cards.
Yeah. Oh. I feel like Villagers gives you more... options of things you can do. But
I haven't played Villagers.
The beauty of the game is how many options are in the game because you get a different experience every time. There's different buildings that come out. There's different resource orders. You've got your own, what's your own personal building called? Your tower
monument.
Or whatever. Your monument, which is a secret one. Not a secret one, but one that just you're going for and gives you special powers, which are cool. There's a lot of just replayability value in Tiny Towns.
Sarah's turn.
So one of my favorite AEG games. And before I even mention it, I do have to say, I know AEG kind of changed up their strategy a few years back, or maybe just a couple years back, and they decided that they weren't going to publish so many games every year, but they were going to make sure that every single game was great instead of putting out a couple mediocre and a couple that would stick and become classics. They were going to try
still
and
put out a lot of games every year.
They still do, but I think
picking good ones.
But I think they cut back
and
being more selective. And I think it's paying off.
That's their motto: all excellent games.
Yeah.
No,
so
that's not what their motto is.
It's
we make fun.
We make fun.
Yes, we make fun.
Is it all direct energy?
Two games that I have enjoyed. I'm glad they have partnered with Flat Out Games because Calico and the new Cascadia coming out soon are both fantastic tile laying games.
Definitely.
Can't get enough of tile laying games. You'd think I would have gotten
board with that mechanic, but I never do. So both of those are fantastic. Very easy rules, but hard to master the gameplay of those and strategy-wise. And then I also enjoy Santa Monica. It's very similar to...
I knew that was coming.
I know. Very similar scoring-wise to games like Castles of Mad King Ludwig or... Suburbia, where you're
playing.
I have not played Santa Monica
yet.
I was the only one on the ladies' top 10 of 2020 who hadn't played it.
Bucket list game.
And it was on everybody's list. So I do need to play this.
Yes.
We can talk about one game that we've all played, War Chest.
It sounds like an awesome game.
War Chest, for me, granted, you can outvote me, but it won't be true.
I don't
War
even know
Chest
what you're talking
for
about.
Me is like the best 2v2 game.
Or like four-player game.
Four players, 2v2.
I know a lot
it's
of people love
so
it, 1v1.
Fun. It's so fun.
It is way better as 2v2.
Yeah, I think it's way better as 2v2.
Just announced another expansion.
Did they?
Yes.
Can't wait.
War Chest?
Yeah.
The box is heavy, though. The pieces.
Does it come with a new box? I need a bigger box.
You need a bigger box.
No,
you have plenty of room in that big box.
You cannot.
You have plenty of room.
You got plenty of room in that box.
The little sleeve that holds the tokens, the second one is only like half full.
Yeah.
Oh, if it's just tokens, I suppose I have room for that.
It's going to be tokens and cards.
All right. It could be tokens and cards.
It's a small box.
The second expansion barely fits in the existing box, which is difficult. It's one of the nice things about the game is just the component quality. The tokens, the poker chips are like the heavy-duty clay chips. You've got felt fabric bags. You've got a nice board. Just everything feels really nice in this game. And when you're playing 2v2, you've got a lot of options to choose from. When you're playing that 4v4 game, you
2v2.
You get to pay you get to pay attention to yours. You need to pay attention to what your partner is doing. You've got your opponents that are also like it's a full game experience trying to strategize out what those next couple of turns are going to be.
The name of the new expansion is called Siege.
Makes sense.
War Chest Siege.
Siege.
What was the other one called? Nobility.
Nobility. Yep.
Nobility.
It's a good game.
Solid stuff. You guys should try sometime. We should have a Kevin and Melissa should play AEG Games Day.
My favorite AEG game.
That you've played.
That I've played, which is my favorite.
Right, right.
Space Base.
Also
is this,
good.
Is this one of your top three, Ryan?
I'd forgotten about that one. That's actually a really good one.
It's but probably it's, your
it,
number one.
I don't think it would make it in my top three.
Probably his number one.
But maybe top four.
Okay.
It's really good.
Or five or six.
I love Space Base because it's got simultaneous play. Like we were talking about New Dreams Wild. It's like things are just moving. You're rolling your dice. I love that you have the ability to gain things when other people roll your number. When they're rolling the dice, I like how you can upgrade the different spots with the numbers on your tableau. So it's almost like a tableau building type game. I like how the gold works. You're getting new ships and stuff like that. So Space Base is really cool. I know we had a special Dreadnought pack that sort of like went out super fast and no one can buy that ever again because it's not available. Do we have any left, Sarah? Are we all out?
We're out.
We're out.
They were cool promos.
They were pretty cool. Anyway, but Space Base is my number one.
Which one, Kevin, is the... So Mystic Veil introduces card crafting.
So it's my turn, Will.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
It's my turn, and...
I was just segueing for you.
I'm not necessarily saying favorite, but I definitely love these games, and that is the card crafting games, which are Mystic Veil, which has a bajillion expansions, and then they pushed it further with Edge of Darkness.
That's the one.
That has worker placement and card crafting and a really interesting deck building aspect to that game where other people can actually end up with your cards, but it benefits you when they use them. And then the third card crafting game, it's not quite out yet, but
soon.
Dead Reckoning, they kickstarted and hopefully will be fulfilling sometime in the nearish future.
Yeah, that card crafting in Dead Reckoning is so cool because you start with a crew of pirates on your ship and you are upgrading your crew. I love it.
Yeah, so I really enjoy all three of those card crafting games from John DeClair and AEG. Lots of different options there with those clear cards that you're sleeving and kind of stacking on top of each other for different benefits.
All right, let's talk about Smash Up, Ryan.
Yeah, that is one of my top three.
I knew it.
It is AEG's best-selling game, and that's because there's just so many expansions for it. Each expansion is a standalone set of Smash Up. Like, it has enough that you can play at least one-on-one.
And you have, like, the big, geekier,
yeah,
geekiest.
Yeah, like the bigger, geekier box or yeah. biggest. I don't know if it's the biggest. It's the bigger, geekier
it
box.
It could be a biggest.
It's, yeah.
It's coming amazing. Soon.
I think I even got the random sheep expansion they did one time. They're like, send us your information and we'll send you a sheep expansion. It's like, yes, sheep all the way. Bring it on.
Does your biggest expansion box still have room? I mean, like, they just came out with Marvel. Does it fit?
It does.
In?
Okay.
Yeah. I remember seeing that box.
It's pretty big. But yeah, it's pretty awesome. For those of you who don't know, there's different themed decks. You might have one that's like Bear Riders or
zombies, your favorite?
Ghosts, vampires, you know, classic monsters. But then there's like time travelers.
Dinosaurs.
And then they just came out with the Marvel.
Special Marvel.
Decks where you can do the Spider-Verse deck or, you know, the Avengers or S.H.I.E.L.D. So you have this themed decks, and you take two different themed decks and smash them together. You shuffle them together, and then every turn you can play your cards are either minion cards or action cards. So you can either play a minion or an action in either order. You get to play one of each, and you are trying to put your minions out on bases that are also themed based on whatever decks people have pulled. And they will have special abilities as well. So you try to get as many points as possible out, as much power as possible from your cards out on these bases. And then once it hits the base's breaking point, you see who has the most, who has the second most, etc. And they get the points from that card. And it's the first to 15 points wins. But you can see some really interesting combinations because the different decks focus on different things. The zombies, you always are pulling things out of your discard. So you seem to always have minions. And then I think the
Pretty Princess.
Yeah, the Pretty Princess
got double pretties in there again.
Because it's like super powerful cards. That they're all like really high power, but that's like all they have. It's like really high powered. And there's some that let you move cards around, some that let you play extra actions. You just have to find a good combination. So that's Smash Up.
What was your other two?
My Tiny Towns. And my number one, I thought it was Smash Up, but I had actually forgotten Thunderstone Quest.
What? I have that on my list of making sure we didn't forget
one.
Thunderstone.
It is amazing. They've done several big boxes of Thunderstone Quest with expansions and such.
What's your number one?
I'm still waiting on one of the Kickstarters to send me stuff.
I haven't played Thunderstone in forever. I really enjoyed that when it came out. It was probably the second deck builder I ever played.
Yeah, I had Thunderstone Advance, which was... It's kind of like a Dominion, but with more objectives, like a story laid over it. And then Thunderstone Quest doubles down on that with the story and different scenarios. So there's like a whole quest book where you can play through the scenarios, and you can even play it like story-based where you get to carry cards over into the next scenario and that sort of thing. And then with the expansions, they've added more players and a co-op version. It's a very big game now, and it's a lot of fun.
Understand, it's cool.
I have a couple more that, unless people have, Jonah, you did War Chest, Tiny Towns.
Favorites?
Any other favorites come to mind? I have a couple that haven't been mentioned yet.
You can't have a lot of favorites.
No.
You can have a few favorites.
But there have been a couple that, like, I know people talk about AEG games that haven't been said yet.
Like what?
Istanbul.
Saw that one on the list.
It's got that cool 16 card grid where you're going to get different actions, collecting rubies. Was there something else that you saw, Will?
Mariposas is sitting right behind you, which is a newer one this year.
I honestly forgot about Mariposas.
Yeah.
That's too new to be a favorite.
It's too
I didn't say it was a favorite. I just said it was sitting behind him. But it's good.
Wait,
it is a good game.
I thought Cubitos, which is a...
Yeah. Let's talk about new games. That was just came out, Will.
I'm not making these rules. I'm just liking them.
The other two that came to mind were Ecos, that I know a lot of people like with the Rise of Augustus bingo type feel to it. And then Point Salad is a very popular one still.
I've still not actually played Truffle Shuffle, which I think is AG. Mm-hmm. Sure is. I need to try that someday. And
I think it's sitting on your shelf somewhere.
Yeah, I've probably seen it in my house. I just haven't played. It's on my shelf of shame because I haven't had a chance to try it yet.
It's an amazing
right
game.
You.
Is it right behind me?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm not going to look. Dice City is also a good one. That's a lot
of cool.
Fun
I've not played. Well, I think I have played that one.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's got. It has a good look to it. It actually has the AEG look to me. If there was a look, Dice City has the AEG look. That's what I'm going with. All right, well, hopefully some of those sparked your interest. If you haven't checked those out, I know we've got previews and reviews and things of a lot of those games you can check out on our channel. But I think that pretty much wraps it up for this episode. Be sure to tune in and check out some of our lives and playthroughs we've done this past week, and then stick around for just after the credits when we talk about WandaVision. Here we go.
Episode 7 and 8.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Even though 9's out, 7 and 8 right now.
See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
I think I say see you guys at the end of the episode, and even though I'm never going to see, like, you can
hear us.
You might
see them someday.
Oh, yeah. Hear us later, guys. That's what I should start
see
saying.
Us in your mind. In your mind's eye.
In the mind of your vision stone on your
dream
forehead.
Well. Dream
okay,
well.
Okay, you want to hear my hot take, or should I save it?
On WandaVision.
Do it. Let's start
take.
It off.
Good. So we need to talk about episode 7 and 8.
Yes.
My hot take is about what happened at the end of 8. So
the end of 8.
It? Yeah. Should I just say it?
Do it.
Spoil it away.
Okay. So I think that Wanda and Agatha, which we now know, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that they're enemies right now. Agatha does not like Wanda because she's the Scarlet Witch. But what's going to happen is that the new Vision,
White Vision,
is going to be evil.
What?
He's going to think like humans don't matter at all.
Oh, he's back to being
he's soulless. No soul.
Person. Yeah, no
yeah.
soul.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Wanda who has to kill the new Vision. She's going to be hard-pressed to do it. And when she does it, Agatha's going to realize that she's not as evil as Agatha thought. And then Agatha and Wanda are going to be friends.
Okay.
I kind of want her to overwrite White Vision or whatever his name is. Double Vision. I don't know.
2020.
I want her to like transfer his soul over to that or something. I don't know. Because that's Vision's body.
Yeah.
And she clearly has his soul in mind or something.
Well, we already have Vision's body. She created.
Is it real, though? Can it leave the hex?
I don't think it's
real.
Well,
I can't leave the
hex. I want
it
to transfer over to the body so it can leave the hex.
So I think you're both right.
It tried to leave the hex. But doesn't that storyline match up? Like, because in the comics, Agatha is like the Wanda's like teacher and friend.
Mm-hmm.
So right now they're not friends, but something's going to happen to where Agatha's going to be her friend. And I think it's going to be Vision's evil. Wanda gets rid of Vision and Agatha realizes that Wanda's not evil.
Well,
they go the opposite direction.
Right? Does
and
Agatha
Wanda
think
becomes evil?
Whoa, that would be crazy.
I do know something. The writers are trying not to go with that trope of that several other franchises have used, where if a female character becomes so powerful, they just lose mental stability. They've said that they're not going to do that. So
didn't they already do that? Isn't that what this whole episode has been?
Well, they said they're not going down that path. So evidently, she's going to hold it together and
she's
not
pulling it back.
She is. She's going to hold it together. So it's not going to be how Game of Thrones turned out and how
I've never seen that.
Jean Grey with the Phoenix turned out. She's going to keep it together somehow.
There's actually a lot. For a little while in there, there was a lot of shows that I was watching that I was like, all the female characters are losing their mind. And it was so frustrating, actually. Because it was like, what are you doing? You keep not doing things you should have been doing. You weren't doing this in season one.
Right. I hate that when that happens with any character. Like, why are you acting like this? No sane person would ever do this.
Agatha wants to know how this magic works. And she's talking about chaos magic near the end of episode 8. Mm-hmm. And she just really wants to know, like, how is this working? So we do know now that Scarlet Witch had innate abilities before she became Scarlet Witch. I mean,
do we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
She
turned the bomb off.
Did she, though? They kind of cut away. Like, did she use the bomb?
Yeah.
It was insinuated.
Yeah.
Well, at least Agatha,
she manipulated the probability that it wouldn't go off.
Yeah, probability hex.
I didn't see it. I think there was like a trick.
Were you watching?
So, you know how Agatha, or not Agatha, how Scarlet Witch, what's her name? Wanda?
Wanda.
Yeah, thank you.
The name of the show.
No, whatever. How she like expanded it at the very, I guess they
huge.
Right. Well, no, even in the, even episode 8, they sort of show how she built the hex. Mm-hmm. And like all these people that are in the Westview town are, you know, turned into some of the characters we have seen. One of the guys, the mustache guy, is putting up the piano lessons flyer.
Right.
And then during the magic show, he's like, that was my grandmother's piano.
Yep. Oh. Yes. Yeah. All of that's tied together.
All tied together.
Yeah, they've done a great job. That was a surprisingly excellent montage. Because it was just like, oh, like stuff's coming together. Oh, I seen that guy. Oh, I remember that guy. Oh, there's the mailman. Do we have a theory about him?
They did a really good job about that. Yeah. It makes it so much more enjoyable to watch. Yeah,
I thought, I don't remember which episode it is. I think 7, when they're stuck in the car and they're like, you know, random construction and stuff stopping them from getting back. Mm. I actually really, for a couple of episodes, they haven't done the like quaint, cheeky stuff like they did in the first couple episodes. So I actually kind of appreciated that came back, where he's like sitting outside the van, like just chatting with us, like what is going on?
Yeah.
Why? And then he realizes, he's like, "Why am I sitting here?" And then he flies off. I was like, "Oh, great."
7 is where we meet Photon, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Monica Rambeau.
She turns into Photon.
Her eyes get all blue and glowy.
That was cool. She can see different spectrums.
The 7 was the best episode to me.
It was good.
Partly because I loved The Office, and they did that
yes.
in the third, breaking the fourth wall stuff, The yes. Office or Modern Family. It was just the best episode to me.
Yeah.
And honestly, 8 was the worst episode to me.
I did not like 8 as much. I agree.
I just realized that all shows do that. They all, and then I realized it's always around 6, 7, or 8 episodes that they
filler
do
episode.
This filler. Some background people, story, some people switch storyline episode right. that I absolutely
It's like,
hate.
In case you didn't pick up on all the stuff that we kind of wanted you to know here, let us feed it to
it's
you.
It's the yes. lore episode that they're just really trying to feed people that aren't following along.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing I thought, or that I wonder about, is that they've kind of fleshed out all the story stuff. They gave us their backstory. They re-walked us through all of it. Does that mean we're not going to see Mephistopho? What's
you mean
his name?
Mephisto?
That guy,
no,
yeah.
So supposedly there's still a major character being revealed.
That has not been revealed.
Friday.
Who can it be?
I mean,
Mephisto.
Yeah, but who in the show have we seen? They're just going to reveal.
I saw good theories.
New. Literally, they're just going to reveal.
Did you also see him?
Person.
No, I didn't.
It could be the bunny turned into.
Oh, it could be the
could
bunny.
Could be my tenant turned into.
They've shown the bunny a lot. Close-ups on the bunny.
And she talked to the
and
bunny.
And the bug. Mm-hmm. So you know it's evil.
Senior mm-hmm. Scratch.
Did you hear who they might have as the actor?
No.
So this is kind of cool.
That's
I read
us.
Some online thing, and they're saying Robert De Niro might be the main dude. Supposedly, what's the guy's name who plays the Vision?
Paul Bettany.
That guy has been in interviews in the past where he's said like his two main acting heroes are somebody and De Niro, and then another.
I want Patrick Stewart to come back.
Oh, that'd be interesting. And then in another recent episode,
X-Men
he said.
X-Men blend in, then he can come back.
He was very excited that he got to work with one of his heroes.
Gandalf would be fun too. I mean,
the
guy that played Gandalf.
Magneto.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that would be interesting actually, because they could pull that galaxy together.
Here's the thing. At the end of episode 7, we saw a after the credit scene where the evil man taken over who we thought was her brother. Oh. Also, we thought could have been whoever
fake
from
Pietro.
X-Men.
Pietro, yeah. Which is hilarious.
That was a great.
She said that.
Yeah, that was funny. We saw an end of credit scene and they said nothing about it in the next episode. Nothing.
That's true.
Ooh.
At the end of 8, we see an end of credit scene. Are they just going to blow past that again for 9?
Mm. I don't know what the episode
I think
White
Vision's going to be. You're thinking he'll be a major part of episode 9.
I think
so
he'll actually be a major part of the Doctor Strange movie.
They didn't give us Monica Rambeau or
I know there was
at all. Nothing.
They were just really focused on Wanda's story.
Yeah,
all that was happening while the other stuff was happening, probably.
Which is why we didn't like 8.
Okay.
So something else that's interesting is in episode 8 where she went back, the original actor for Pietro was not in any of it. He was just as the boy in the apartment.
Oh, that is true.
Like, that we already true. Know, like, his death scene and all of that. So they didn't go back and watch it with Agatha, but
they didn't want to pay him.
Right.
Yeah.
They got money.
They have all the money they need. They could have paid him.
Let's talk about Peter Hayward. What do you guys think? It's he's been all trying to manipulate Wanda the whole time.
Oh, yeah. He wanted Wanda to go bring Vision back or do something wonky.
Passing on.
You think?
Yeah. Somebody's
gonna he's going him. To go through the veil?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Somebody's going to get him.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
He deserves it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting. He obviously manipulated her to
And he manipulated
put her
Rambo,
back together.
Too, right. Because he basically said that she stole, Wanda stole Vision's body.
Mm-hmm.
But he still had it.
He still had it. And yeah,
that was great. She like pushes the door open and that was it. And then I was like, oh, she wasn't mad. She wasn't like stealing.
She was sad. She wanted to go in it. We don't know if she was going to go really bury him or whatever, but she was going through this grief. I liked the line about the grief. What was the exact?
Love.
Remnants of love or whatever.
Yeah.
Grief is a perseverance of love.
Yes.
Perseverance.
It was either that perseverance
like,
or
that sounds like
love
a commercial you watched during yeah. Jeopardy.
I think it's love.
Revenge.
That's definitely.
I think grief is love persevering.
Yeah.
I thought that was very good. Yeah, because you think about that in real life too. So
that's good stuff. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Do we only have one episode left?
This is it. One more left. Number 9.
One more.
And then
if it's
gonna...
not an hour and a half, I'm going to be upset.
Right. I can't imagine that they can wrap up everything. So
it's going to be a cool 22 minutes.
All right. All going to be mad at the end of that one.
But we do have Winter Soldier.
Right. So we've got like a week off.
Mm-hmm.
And then we jump into a whole new series.
Yep.
That I'm guessing is not going to overlap until like the end, like the last episode. It's going to be a totally different storyline.
If they leave us on a cliffhanger from Wanda, I think it'll overlap first episode.
Okay.
If they don't leave us on a cliffhanger,
they're definitely leaving us on a cliffhanger.
Season 2?
There's no way they're going to just like,
I've heard rumblings of season 2 WandaVision.
Really?
Okay, what's the actor's name who's in the new Black Widow?
The new Black Widow?
Yeah.
The guy who's also on...
You're talking about
on Stranger Things, yeah. What's his name?
I have no idea.
Oh, Hopper.
Yes, Hopper. Oh. So what is hilarious is the last episode of Stranger Things where Hopper wakes up in Russia. I was like, they could cross over his character in Marvel with Stranger Things.
That would be funny.
Like, it's the same
Stranger
character.
Things 4.
Would 11 be? Yeah. 11 would be somebody.
11.
Right? 11 has powers. Also, yeah.
11 does have powers. It could totally be a thing.
That would be insane.
So
who owns Stranger Things?
It's Netflix.
Make it happen, somebody.
So the plan is to finish up with WandaVision, then move into Winter Soldier for our end of credits podcast?
Sure. Yeah, we can definitely talk about that.
Okay.
I'm just curious. I do think it'll be a different storyline, but then like they'll have some after credit scenes that tie together or something. I don't think it's going to be a continuation.
I think if they leave us on a cliffhanger, they're giving us a week off on purpose, and then they're going to come back and give it to us first episode.
And then Loki after that.
I know.
I'm excited for Loki.
Well, granted, I was not really excited for WandaVision, but they've hooked me. I'm not super excited for the next one either, but I was super excited for Loki the whole time. The like trailer they played for it was great because it was like the scene from the movie where he grabs the cube and disappears.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything happens.
Yeah. So I was like,
definitely want to know what's happening.
This is exactly what I wanted to see.
Yeah.
Like,
so. I'm also looking forward to in Loki more scenes where Thor shows up and Loki is acting out the entire play incorrectly. That was so funny.
That was a great part of the movie.
Oh, thank Brad Pitt.
Yes.
That was funny.
Who should get to play me?
I hope that because they bring back Loki 100 times, good, bad, it doesn't matter. I hope that we get the bad guy from the Black Panther back.
Oh, yeah.
Taskmaster?
Just run into each other.
Killmonger.
Sorry.
I hope Killmonger comes
Killmonger.
Back. I was so disappointed that they let him die on the mountaintop. No, are you kidding me?
Mm.
We love Killmonger. We love Michael B. Jordan. Why would you kill him?
Right?
He's a good actor.
Yeah. I was like, everyone across the world is going, Black Panther is awesome. And half of that was because we love Michael B. Jordan, period.
Right.
And then they killed him. I was like, you've got to be joking me. But then I was like, they bring back Loki 100 times. Just
right.
bring him back. I'm not even going to be mad at you. Just bring him back.
There we go.
Cool. I do think they've done this. I'm always impressed by TV series or movies where they can kill off main characters, leave them dead for at least more than one movie, and then bring them back. Like, when you're not afraid to kill off a main character, and I'm still invested in the
like
story.
Black Widow?
Right. I mean, just a number of the stories, yep. Endgame and everything else, you were like, what? They can't be dead. We had to watch, what, 3 movies before any of them came back? It was pretty good. I was impressed.
We are currently in the middle of, Melissa and I are currently in the middle of watching the Marvel Universe in chronological order.
Mm.
We're at
Is that different than release order?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're at Iron Man 3. We just finished Iron Man 3.
Did you watch like the 3 Hulk movies first or something?
There's only one Hulk movie that's part of MCU.
Oh, only one counts?
Mm-hmm.
So the next one is, unfortunately, Dark World.
Which is not the best. But
is that Thor?
The second Thor movie.
Yeah, the second Thor. Not as good as...
Chronological order is like Captain Marvel's like first or second.
Yeah, it's Captain America, then Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
What are you enjoying it more? Is it tied together so perfectly?
It does tie together better, I feel.
Yeah?
So,
yeah. We're getting ready to. Liam's about to turn 13. We're going to go through all of them, all the PG-13 movies. We're getting ready to start. And I was trying to figure out what order to be watching them in.
Chronological.
All right, we'll plan on it. Should be fun.
I can't do that to myself. It's got to be released. This is how they came out. This is how I was supposed to watch them.
Okay.
I agree with Star Wars. You can't watch those in chronological order. You've got to watch in release order.
You mean there's only 3 Star Wars movies, though?
Right. Okay. No, they came out with 1 or 2 extra ones. Rogue and...
Rogue One was good.
It was good. Excellent. All right, well, stay tuned. Next week, we'll 2 weeks out, we'll recap the final episode. And if you get bored and want to share your thoughts, you can definitely jump on our Discord channel. We have some fun in there chatting. I don't even know how to get to it.
I did forget, since you're still with us, the March Madness bracket that we're not allowed to say March Madness, but I keep saying March
Copyrighted
Madness.
Because,
Madness of March.
Tell us real quick because it'll be live.
Okay, so we are going to have available on our – follow us on Twitter at Tantrum House. Follow us on Facebook and our page. And we are going to have available a March Madness bracket – board game bracket that you can fill out, and we are giving away some cool prizes for people with great brackets. But we're gonna have a couple of categories and a couple of matchups, and it's gonna be live all March and of course until the first weekend of April, just like the basketball tournament.
So is this like an online form where they can just fill in the things and they submit it, or is this something they have to email to us?
Will
That's a great question, everyone. I think it's going to be a downloadable PDF that you can then, it'll have the starting brackets. You can narrow it down, fill it in, and then submit it back to us through our website so that we'll have your submissions on time and be able to keep track of who won the end.
That'd be fine. We could print them all off and put them like on your wall.
As long as it's only 6 people.
Gotta have a big bracket.
Cover my whole wall in brackets. Can't wait. Should be fun. Check it out. I'm going to just make up an address and tell you that you can go there and find it. If you go to tantrumhouse.com/bracket.
Bracket.
Not exciting, but bracket. You can download yours
board
by the time
bracket.
This goes live.
Just board bracket. Game. Nope.
No, just bracket.
Just bracket. That's easy.
I liked when you said Madness of March. It sounded like Mansions of Madness. I was trying to figure out how to tie that in. I don't got it, but.
It's really probably just board game bracket. It's got to be.
/board game.
No, /bracket.
Okay.
But it's going to be called. Let's
board game bracket. Yeah, I think that's good.
We got to get off this podcast.
Good night, everybody.
Bedtime.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.